The next one in our series of excellent speakers is Dr. Waleed Faraj, who's the Chief of General Surgery at one of the best universities in this area of the world, the AUB, the American University of Beirut in Lebanon.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you for inviting me to present a few of our experience in the management of Haidatid disease. I have nothing to disclose, and I'm going to start my talk with a case. A 31-year-old male patient presented with epigastric pain, left upper quadrant pain. Upon physical exam, he had a palpable mass in the left upper quadrant. So what's next? The patient had a CT scan, which revealed the following cyst in the spleen. And it had those membrane, which the red pointer is on. So CBC was normal. Serology was positive for Haidatid disease. And what's next? Shall we go and do a total splenectomy, subtotal splenectomy, open versus laparoscopic? These are all valid questions that we always ask when we when we face a patient with Haidatid disease. So we elected to go and do laparoscopic exploration and to decide intraoperatively what to do. As we can see, this is the spleen, and this is the cyst, this is the suction, and this is a laparoscopic needle. So we started by aspiration, then injection of this cholesterol agent, then removal of the membrane, and suctioning and making sure that nothing is left, and irrigation later on with normal saline, then resection of the whole cyst wall. So in that procedure, we elected to keep the spleen and not to do a splenectomy. After that, we make sure to irrigate with a lot of normal saline. As we all know, and as it was presented, the cholesterol agent are really sometimes irritant and cause a lot of adhesion in case the patient will face another surgery, any type of surgery. Once those material has been put in the body, it will cause a severe reaction, and it will cause the next operation very difficult and tough. So to try, the way to try to decrease that amount is to put a lot of normal saline and irrigate. And again, we put, as it was presented with from our colleague from Turkey, that we put a lot of pads and gauze around all the tissue that we want to work on. This has been well defined and well explained by our colleague. And as we know, also the distribution varies upon certain places in the world, where sometimes it is up to 5 to 10% in certain part of the south of America. So which organs are affected? Again, it was mentioned 75% is the liver, 15% the lung. Both of them were well explained, and the management and the complication was well cleared by the previous speaker. Other organs, which constitute 10%, it can vary: the brain, the intra-abdominal, and bone, retroperitoneal, etc. So in the intraperitoneal and retroperitoneal, they are around 10% of the abdominal Haidatid disease. They are usually secondary to rupture, hepatic, splenic, or mesenteric, but it can also occur as a primary presentation. The spleen is the third most common site after the liver and lung, and it can be up to 1 to 8% from the abdominal Haidatid disease. The pancreas is also, it's around 0.5%, and the difficulty sometimes in the diagnosis of pancreatic Haidatid disease is that it can mimic a pseudocyst, because not all the time we will see this beautiful picture where we have the septation and the membrane. So a careful blood test and careful analysis of the images needs to be done. This is a case report that I have reported in 2006, where we did also a laparoscopic resection of this pancreatic Haidatid disease. Sometimes also it is present in the genitourinary tract with less than 3%, and it can be in the kidneys where it can rupture and cause sometimes renal colic. It can either cause some hydatiduria, and the management also become a little bit more and more complex when it comes to this. Another case, a 52-year-old male patient, he presented with an epigastric pain. Abdominal ultrasound, cystic mass in the liver, arising from the liver. CT scan, liver cyst, mostly hydatid in origin, presence of membranous layer. Hydatid disease, positives for serology. So we elected to go and do a laparoscopic resection of or pericystectomy of that cyst. And when we put the scope, we found that there is nothing in the liver. It was an abdominal wall cyst which has put all the pressure on the liver and made some indentation on the liver. So we continued and we proceeded to see the indentation on the liver, but there was no hydatid disease of the liver. So we elected to do the same process, which I'll be explaining more regarding how to manage and how to process whenever we have such lesions. Another case, this is a very interesting case, and it's a 47-year-old female Syrian refugee who presented to our outpatient department with chronic cough over the past few months. She was seen by a local physician who did just a regular chest x-ray and revealed this cystic lesion in the inferior lobe of the lung. CT scan and the CT scan of the chest and abdomen was done and revealed that cystic lesion between liver and lung. It was a little bit difficult to separate and identify. So we elected to put a scope in the abdomen, and we found that the lesion was bulging out from the diaphragm. So again, we proceeded with the same guidelines regarding the management of those lesions, by putting all the gauze or pads, and sometimes when we are using laparoscopy, we use vaginal packs so we can have more space to cover all that area. We start by soaking all those packs with citramide. This is the scolicidial agent that we use at our institution. And then we aspirate, irrigate with the citramide, wait for 5 to 10 minutes, then we do the resection. I'll be also talking a little bit more about how we do that. So this is the interesting case about this is that we opened the diaphragm and we started irrigating and removing all the membranes, and we opened now, and we had this hole which going inside the lung. So we went from the liver into the lung and we had resected all those membranes successfully, and we can see this pericyst, and then we removed all the cyst wall, and definitely irrigation with normal saline was also performed, and a drain was put from the abdomen and not from the chest. So again, this was what I was mentioning, sometimes the diaphragm, which is involved in less than 1%. The options of those, it has been discussed earlier, again, surgery is the mainstay. Intervention radiology can also be used, and the medical treatment, which was amazingly described by our previous speaker. Again, I'm not going to go through this, but we use the albendazole, which is the common antiparasitic agent that is used, and it is up to it. The response rate is up to 20 to 30% in some patients. The surgical management, the main principle of surgical treatment is to eradicate the parasite by giving treatment pre-op and post-op. And the most important thing is to prevent any spillage. Whenever we have spillage, then this will flag complication in the future, even if we don't see them on the spot. And try to obliterate the residual cavity. So what the solution that we use? Again, there has been many solutions that is used. We can use the formalin, the hypertonic saline, which is the most common use, and citramide. The dose that we use is 1 gram and 1 liter normal saline, hydrogen peroxide, etc. In our institution, we only use citramide, and we have good experience in that product. So what surgical technique we use? It is simplified, and we use it for all hydatid cysts, which include the liver, the lung, intra-abdominal, or anyone else, except in the brain, where the brain, we do a complete excision of that cyst. So we start by aspiration. And we use this tubing with a three-way stopcock. We aspirate the hydrated fluid. We put it aside. Then we inject the cyst with the citramide. And then we wait for at least 5 to 10 minutes. After that, after covering all the cyst with the gauze or pads, we open the cyst and we suction all the material. I use this suction material, which is the Gamco suction, the one that is used in DNC, because it has a very strong suction. It doesn't have any valves in it. And the hole of the suction tube is big. So the percentage and the incidence of spillage decrease tremendously. And sometimes, and most of the time, we also aspirate the membranes as well with that Gamco suctioning. Sometimes we also use the instrument to remove all that membranes. And we have to make sure, as it was explained by our colleague, to do a pericystectomy, and we don't do resection. We rarely, rarely do resection because our experience mainly is in liver and not in other organs, because the other organs represent really a small percentage. So as it was said, we do not go and do massive hepatectomies or surgical resection. We just go do pericystectomy. The laparoscopy, in most of our case, we use it in laparoscopy because we use the magnification where we can identify any biliary leak. It can be suture, etc. And then it has shorter hospital stay and reduced wound complication. The complication, as it was also cleared by other, it can reach up to 3% of mortality when it has been diffused hydratinosis, and sometimes when there is an anaphylactic shock. And the recurrence rate is up to 10%. The PEAR technique, which has been also described, where we have also experience in our radiology department, definitely it is case-specific, and it cannot be used on any multiple cysts. It should be one cyst with the minimal number of membrane and cyst. So mainly for hydrated cysts with a clear intracystic fluid. These are an example. And just in briefly, because I think I'm short of time, we in Lebanon have really worked hard in the management, identification, serology, and treatment of hydatid disease. And this has been published in a paper where the contribution of radiology as well, and the serological, immunological aspect, and the surgical as well. So in conclusion, this is Lebanon. It's just a small spot in the world. But it's a beautiful place to visit, and I encourage each and every one of you to come and visit us, and you are most welcome because we are a very hospitalit country. Thank you.